The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Now, Louise Galvin is with us. Louise, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm Grace.
We've already been talking about what the future is at Out Half for Ireland. And part of the conversation around that is like, what's the story with getting Joey Carberry in the team? Because we've always been obsessed with trying to get our best players in the team. Is there a way that Sexton and Carberry can play together? Would that change how we play? Or is it just about whoever is the best current 10? That's the future for us.
I think, we're not going to say no, they can't play on the same team. But at the moment, who would Joey Carberry, after that performance, whose position would he take? You could look at putting him into a centre position, but it's such an attritional role, particularly defensively, that with his injury record, I'm not sure it's the best option for him. You could look at him in a full-back position. I've no doubt that he'd adapt well to that. But again, are you going to take Hugo Keenan's spot? So I'm not sure about pushing him in there. I think Johnny is obviously the man in possession of the jersey at the moment, but we need to have a bit more depth because Johnny may not always be fit and he may not always be there, even though at the moment it seems like he's never going to retire and he's never going to fully age. So I'm not sure. I think at the moment the backs that are there have more than earned their jersey. Let's work with what we have at the moment and the style of play that we played with. I know we talked a lot about having this kind of two-sided tens or two-sided attack, but actually what really impressed me, lads, at the weekend was we didn't necessarily need another specific playmaker in that role. It was the speed of the recycle. We often saw Keith Earls come in and play 10 and even Johnny at times go to 9 if we just wanted to speed up that recycle. That's exciting. That doesn't need a designated second playmaker. That just needs all players being comfortable, particularly in that back line, at stepping into first receiver, sometimes shifting Johnny out to that second receiver role and letting him take the ball to the line there and release the further backs out wide. So I think more working on that style of play rather than we need two playmakers, one setting up on the left of the midfield and one setting up on the right. I think let's keep working on that and that variety.
So was this a new game plan, Louise, for Saturday night?
We haven't seen it in a while. I think if we listen to the little bit of sound bites that we get from the players and from the staff, we have heard about the things like, oh, we need to take more pressure off 10. We need to step up, take a bit of responsibility. We need to communicate better. So it has been there in the background that the players have been saying that they have wanted to maybe involve themselves a little bit more in the game from an earlier point in the phase play. So I think it just finally seemed to have clicked, and certainly that's what the soundbites coming out after the game have suggested as well, Owen.
This is kind of the definition of heads-up rugby. There was a lot of subtle digs about even the terminology around that. It was like, oh, for God's sake. But actually, what it means is that when the centre arrives at a ruck, rather than protecting the ball and wasting 3 or 4 seconds while the scrum half gets up off his feet, runs around and then throws the ball, it's like Wundiaki gets there and passes the ball out because he's a professional rugby player who's a proficient passer. And lo and behold, it keeps the tempo up and it stretches the opposition defence.
Yeah, I think like last week we spoke about England's power play and were we going to outpower or outmuscle them. I think Ireland were really smart. They outpaced them. So you can clearly see the tempo was huge. They just wanted to, every time they got a gain line, they're big defenders, big guys. They want to hit you. They want to come off the line. They need to get their line back again. They need to retreat. They're not made to retreat quickly. So if you're constantly making them retreat even half a metre or so, they can't get that line speed and come up and hit you as well. And I think as well, we use the tram lines well. We move the ball side to side. We still kick the ball, but we didn't just consistently kick it time and time again after three one-man carries into rucks and, Conor Murray looking for three forwards to come in and protect him. And we all know it's coming. It was done with a lot more speed and urgency. It wasn't done all the time, and yeah, it was really enjoyable to watch. And again, there was that level of deception where we'd hit a pot of three forwards and they might, forward one might play a tip on pass or 4-2 might play the tip on pass to three. He might play the pullback pass out the back to often Johnny Sexton or whoever was in that position. And we might play to the tram line. And again, we mightn't have even necessarily made gain line or just about made it, but we're stretching that in the defence. We're making them work across the field or making them fill the field. It was a lot more difficult to defend. And then because our attack just kept their focus, kept their energy high, we saw some really wonderful tries. And variety within those tries as well. We still use our strengths, such as our line out, but obviously we're going to, you know, we're not going to come away from what we're really, really good at, and we're good at set piece.
I guess it boils down to being predictable or not, that England, it's all well and good having good line speed, but it's much easier to execute that, I'd imagine, if you know exactly what your opponent is going to do. And it seemed that England knew what Ireland were going to do up until the Saturday encounter.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose we just took away, I think, a little bit of their strength defensively, in that we just didn't let them set up to hit us. There was a lot of footwork on the line, just to try and get a little bit of a soft shoulder. I think England they looked pretty shell-shocked, and they never really fully recovered from it. But again, I think it was the pace, the speed of recycle, by that I mean the ruck recycle. And on top of that, then there was an element of control. So sometimes when you up the tempo of a game and you're not used to playing at that tempo, it can become a little bit frenetic or frantic, but it didn't. There was still that element of, okay, we're going to take our points here. Or like I remember just before half time, we were playing well, and we gained the ball back again from a restart. And there's a minute left and we're just across the halfway line. And part of me was like, oh, let's just play. Let's just see what happens. But no, let's just line out, maul, get to 40 minutes, kick the ball off. And that's that element of control. We've had a good half of rugby. What we don't need is to tarnish it and concede 3 or 5 or 7 points. So that kind of higher pace was mixed with a higher level of control as well, which is important.
That's the benefit of having Sexton, who's been around for 600 years.
Mm. 600 years and 600 more. Yeah, it is. Look, that's, you can imagine he, you know, particularly if you're on the wing, I can imagine someone like a Hugo Keenan's like, yeah, come on, let's play here. But having Sexton just go, listen, risk reward, we've put in a good shift. Let's restock, let's get our energy levels, let's recover and get ready.
Conversation starter now, because you know, we've been looking at the various bits of analysis that have been done here, and Brian O'Driscoll talk about the quality of the defensive reads that he makes, and you do wonder if maybe this is his best position. And then it's like, well, everybody else has to work out who the best 12 is, and off you go, and you have that fight. But like, is that oversimplistic? It's one game, obviously it's a small sample size, although he obviously has played there a lot in the past.
Yeah, he has. Look, Robbie, I think he's been our best back for the Six Nations, and himself and Tadhg Byrne have really just, the consistency of their performance, they've put in, you know, 8 out of 10 solidly, 9 out of 10 throughout. He's been excellent. And like 13 is such a difficult place to defend. And again, last week, I remember mentioning that we needed to make sure that we got off the line, particularly off England first phase, because they destroyed us in different occasions over the last few games and we weren't getting off the line. But it's so difficult. You're coming up, you've got wraparound plays. He did so well in keeping his shoulder square, his hips square, letting the short line come and then coming up and making the read. And I think, you know, choke tackling the likes of George Ford, it was huge, it was massive. And it's not an easy thing to do because they have front football. Whether he is best at 13, I think there's a little bit of horses for courses. I mean, even in the run-up to the World Cup, there was this question of who was our best centre partnership. And we always had someone out injured, so there was different mixtures. And I think it is a little bit like, if we're going to play a very attritional type of game plan and we want that real bosh, then it's difficult to leave out a Bundiaki. And he did well up until he's sending off. At the same time, Gary Ringrose, he's the player of the year of the 2020 campaign. That's voted for by the players, so that just shows the form and the esteem that he's held within the squad. He's also, you know, a super player, a bit more of maybe that a playmaker is more likely to link in with his back three than maybe a Bundy. And as well, we have to look, like, I know that the rules have changed, but Bundy's had two sendings off since 2019. And, it, you know, it's all well and good. Peter O'Mahony gets absolutely destroyed in the media because we lose that game against Wales, we win, so we forget about Bundy a little bit. But at the same time, it was a red card by the letter of the law, and that's where we can't be taking those risks. And as I say, that's two in 2.5 seasons.
Is it worth trying Ring Rose at 12?
Yeah, it could be done. Again, you know, if with that you'd be looking at him more as a playmaker role, and rather than a bosh kind of up the middle sort of a 12, you know, playing at the and Gary at 13, it's worked pretty well as well over the years. I think just the games that Gary hadn't been playing as well in was the first two games where the team in general hadn't played as well. If Gary was fit and playing at the weekend, we could be saying, God, he's back to his best and he's going to be player of the year again in 2021. So I wouldn't be throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Okay, in terms of the back three, we obviously saw a little bit of chopping and changing. We were all very excited about what James Lowe could do for Ireland, and then obviously it hasn't quite worked out for him just at the start of his career yet. We've seen in Jacob Stockdale that we have somebody who is, when he's at his very best, one of the best, most lethal wingers in the world, but whose own form had come off a little bit. Is there room for a bolter here? Is Robert Balakoon potentially somebody who can actually focus on that one spot at the moment? Or what is the best makeup of the back three at the moment?
Yeah, there's always room for bolters. I think obviously Keith Earls reeled back the years of the weekend. And it's funny, like your role of your winger in Northern Hemisphere rugby, we talk a lot now, particularly about the defensive qualities. I think Keith Earls was the second top most dominant tackles in the whole of the Six Nations, so beaten only by Tom Curry. That's huge for your winger, but it also shows, you know, he's chasing a lot of Gary Owens but again, a very difficult technique to nail your man dominantly and give us that opportunity for a poacher turnover and maybe a 30, 40 metre gain in territory. So I think we've Keith Earls cemented on the left wing, and Hugh O'Keeane certainly needs to continue at the back. Not particularly spectacular at the weekend compared to some of the heights he's reached, but so, so solid. And that's number one, what you want from your 15. And again, that take over Elliot Daly that led to Jack Conan's try was just absolutely superb. He had no right to win that ball. Again, the makeup, the right wing, like it's nice that we don't have a completely settled. This is our seven backs, and this is where we're there's a complete second string. Jacob did pretty well at the weekend. I think he's definitely better off just focusing on the wing and not having to worry about whether he's going to have to step up into the fullback and kind of learn the ropes as much there. I don't think James Lowe is gone. Like, he's gone back to Leinster now. He's got a Pro 14 final at the weekend. He's got European rugby coming up. And, you know, he's going to thrive in that environment. And I've no doubt that we'll see him in an Irish rugby jersey again. Whether it'll be, you know, in the big games, I'm not 100% sure. He's going to have to work himself back into that position again. But yeah, there's always room for bolters. Unfortunately, I suppose for Balakoon, in a way, the Pro 14 is ending, but we do have Rainbow Cup coming up. It's funny, again, in a Lions year, you can have people come out of nowhere. They have 2-3 caps and all of a sudden they're a Lion. And just likewise, you can finish the domestic season really strongly and get pulled into, you know, potentially a summer tour or whatever our next international rugby is for Ireland. And again, if we have a cohort gone off with the Lions, there's certainly an opportunity for a lot of domestic players there to get their shot. But it's brilliant to see that we're having these conversations of real legitimate options throughout the field, really.
What's your hunch, Louise, on who the second best tackler is on the wing, after Keith Earls?
Within the Irish squad?
Yeah, or like the names that could possibly be future Ireland squad members.
Well, I think Hugo Keenan's a fantastic tackler. I know he'd one or two missed at the weekend, but I think he's an excellent tackler as well. When we were talking about this defensive wing qualities, it's also the ability to get up and make a contest out of the game. I actually think it's where maybe Jordan Larmour, I'm answering your question in a roundabout way, where he maybe drops off a little bit compared to a lot of the other players. I don't think he is as proficient in the air, both sides of the ball, attack and defence. Not that he's not good in the air, but I think some of the other options are deadlier. But look, I think it's a work on for all the wingers at the moment, because it is such a difficult, it's the timing and the reading. And I know Keith Earls himself, he gave away a poor penalty early on, Six Nations, he said it was the most stupid penalty of his career, where he completely mistimes it. So you have to completely commit to try and win that ball back. But at that point that you're following the flight of the ball and you realise, okay, I'm not going to win here, you need to absolutely time that as soon as that foot's down, you're nailing to the ground. And if they have more time, you need to make sure that they're not just going to step in around you. So it's a difficult skill, and I think it's a work on for everyone, including Keith Earls, but he's definitely our most proficient player at it.
Andrew Conway was on the show last year saying that the kick chase was something he'd put loads and loads of hours into, and it obviously came up trumps for him last year. Obviously, it's been a difficult 2021 for him, but is he someone that gets his chance now when all things are equal?
Yeah, and I think, again, he's the type of player, like, he's not getting week in, week out rugby at Munster, because he's probably there as backup, back three player, particularly earlier on in Six Nations, maybe Stockdale wasn't back and fully fit yet. So he's kind of fallen between two stools, where he's not making the match day 23, but he's too good to be released back necessarily to play in the Pro 14. So you'd really hope he's getting his chance in the next few games for Munster, because he's been absolutely thriving for them over the years. And it is a difficult one, because we're talking about bolters like Robert Ballacloon, and we haven't even mentioned Andrew Conway getting his chance. But listen, injury or a loss of form can change. You know, look at us talking from the first, second Six Nations game to the fourth and fifth. It can change a lot, and, you know, things can change in a matter of weeks. So for Andrew, he just needs to keep doing what he has been doing well and try and get those opportunities with Munster now to prove the type of player that he is, and prove to Andy Farrell that he should be part of his plans.
For the longest time, Louise, we were kind of... there are a few key players in the Ireland squad who are irreplaceable. Tadhg Furlong was one for a long time. The two, the 9 and 10, were always there as well. And all of a sudden, Hugo Keenan is very close to that. It's like, well, we're grand at fullback so long as Hugo Keenan doesn't get injured.
Yeah, and again, it's probably a bit of a lack of depth. He certainly has that cool head about him. Again, his defensive reads, his tackling, his ability in the air, and then he does offer as well in attack. He's well able to put boot to ball. We saw the line he took against Italy, which I think was just absolutely unreal. It's up there one of our top five tries of Six Nations. So I think he's certainly nailed down his spot, but again, there is a little bit of concern about maybe who steps in there. We have plenty of wing options, but it's a different position. And we haven't had anyone else to really put their hand up and claim it, or even put them under a severe amount of pressure at the moment.
Louise, great to have you with us. Thanks a million.
Thanks, guys.
Louise Galvin there giving us some thoughts on the Six Nations. We'll have more rugby a little bit later on, between 9:30 and 10:00 with Keith Wood and Brian O'Driscoll. We'd love to hear from you, though. The hashtag is OTBAM. You, of course, can WhatsApp us on 0879-180-180. It's 13 minutes past 8 this morning.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.